All right, continuing on. Va'amar top line. Memalof amaralof. Amar of Zera ana chazite leRabbi Avohu sheheniak yadav keneged panav shalmata. I saw when Rabbi Avohu was going into the bathhouse, he was going down into the river or into the bathhouse, into the mikvah, basically. That sheheniach yadav keneged panav shalmata. I saw that he was covering himself. In other words, he was totally undressed, but he was covering himself with his hands as he walked towards the mikvah. V'lo yadana, I do not know, inoga ilo inoga. If he was covering himself so close to the body that he was actually physically touching, if his hand was physically touching his aver, or not. I don't know exactly how close his hand was. I guess it wasn't proper for me to go down and stare. So I caught the act of him walking towards the bathhouse covering himself, and I'm not sure if he was literally hugging himself or not. Says the Gemara, Pshita Deloy Naga, of course he didn't. The Tanya, we had a Braisa, which we just finished in Maseches Nida. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Kol Ha'ichas Ba'ama, whoever holds on to himself, is on to his member, Umashdin, and he goes to, as he urinates, Ki'ilu Mevi Ma'avala Olam. Then probably it might cause him to be Moitzi Zera, Levatala. And, which is an Avera, which caused the Mabel. So it's as if he brought the Mabel to the world. Omer Abaye said, yes, that's true, but Asuya Kibbaleshes, that's if you're in the privacy of your own home and you're not scared of anybody, so then going ahead and holding yourself as you are urinating can bring one to heat up the member, heat up the aver, and it could cause to Hatsar Zelavatala. But in this case where you're in middle of a bathhouse and everybody's walking around and it's not a situation where you're going to start feeling good, therefore, Asuyaki Boileshes, it's treated as if he is a Boileshes, as the heter of army men. What is that? The head of Ireland, the Tnan, we have a brisa that states as follows: Bailesha shenichnasa le'ir b'shas shalem. So if you have a troop of soldiers that go into a city, if it's during peacetime, so then we have to be concerned that these soldiers, when they're in your house, because you have to set them up. So chavias psuchas, if any wine is open in your house, you have to be concerned that maybe these non-Jewish soldiers used it for to pour it for their gods. Asuras, it would be prohibited. However, stumas, if the wines were closed, then it's mutaris. They're closed. They didn't get to the wine. However, b'shas melchama, during a time of war, elu mutaris, even the open bottles are not a problem because the soldiers are so nervous that they're not spending time sacrificing to their gods at that time. They don't have brain space that is open, Panay is open, but they don't have anything, they don't have Menuchas HaNefesh enough to do Yai Nesach. Alma, what do we see? Kevin de Be'isei, since they're scared, Loi Menaschi, they're not going to come to perform Yai Nesach. Hachanami, says the Gemara, Kevin de Bo'is, since he was scared, Loi Asi Leher Hure, he's not going to come to bad thoughts. Says the Gemara, Vahachamai Be'isusei, what are you scared about? Says the Gemara, Be'isusei de Nahara. He's scared about the river. He's walking into a river. He's walking into a river. There's catfish nipping at the feet over there, and there's mud. And who knows what else is going on in the river? So he's not in the frame of mind that any touching over there will affect him. Aini says the Gemara. V'hamar Rabbi Stamazai says the Gemara. Why is he putting his hands over there? Why isn't he embarrassed? V'hamar Rabbi Abba. Why is he embarrassed? V'hamar of Abba. Amar of Huna. Amar Rav. Kol hamaniach yadav keneged panav shalmata. Whoever goes ahead and covers himself, ki'ilu koifer b'brisa shalav armavino. It's as if he's being a koifer in the bris, because it shows that he's embarrassed at the fact that he has a bris there. Says the Gemara like Kasha. Haki nachis, haki salik. Here it's where he's going down into the water. There, nobody's there. So if at that point he wants to go ahead and cover himself, that's because he's internally embarrassed. He doesn't want anybody to see the fact that he has a bris, and he's mortified of the bris, so then it's a problem. But kisalik, so when you're facing the people and you're around other people, it doesn't have to be that you're embarrassed of your bris. It could be that you're embarrassed of anything that's going on down there. So therefore, it's permitted. So if you're facing people, you're around people, then it's okay to go ahead and wear the towel. But if you're heading down into the mikvah and technically there's nobody there who's besides that, you know, Lubavitch guy who's in the mikvah going up and down, up and down, up and down. So then you could go ahead and go into the mikvah, and if you're still embarrassed at that point, that means you're internally embarrassed about it. If you're internally embarrassed about it, that is a problem. Ki had the Rava, Rava would shachi, would go ahead and bend over when he came out. Rabbi Zeir says the Gemara would zakif. Rabbi Zeir actually came out standing proud and uncovered because he was chayshish for this even when he walked out. Rabbanan the Beir of Ashi, kikar nachti, when they would go down into the water, zakfi, they would stand up straight. Kikar salki, when they came out, shachi, they would lean over, they would try to cover themselves to the best of their ability. Okay. Rabbi Zeira Avi Kamish Tamad with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zeira was hiding from Rabbi Yehuda, the Bo'ilam Esek La'arad Yisrael, because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda held that it was also to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda called Ha'olam Yibavel Eretz Yisrael. Whoever goes up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Oiver Ba'ase. He is violating an Isra Ase Shenemar, as it states in the Pasuk, Bebala Yavayu will be brought to Bavel, Vishama Yu, and you'll remain there. So he held that it's also to go to Bavel. And it's also to go back up to Eretz Yisrael, which is, of course, a large sugya in Maseches Ksubis, and whether or not it's permitted to go to Eretz Yisrael, which is, of course, the position of the Satmar Rebbe.
Well, regarding this particular pasuk, though, because they already went back after, and this is from Yirmiyahu, but they already went back to
Right, yeah, this is...
So it's kind of weird that you're citing from this when afterwards you have Ezra, Nehemiah,
right. Right, so this is... Yeah, this is a big sugya. The Gemara deals with that in Ksubas. We'll have to get to it. Even there, it's very big. But this is of course one of the foundation stones of the Satmar Chasidus, and of course those who take it to the extreme, then it's Rei Karta. But this is their flagship sack that you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. I shouldn't say it's their flagship sack. They are from Yidden, but this is their sack that they're famous for. Not the quacko Naturi Karta, who those people are Taka Quacko, but the regular Satmar Yidden. Anyways, so Amar Ezel v'eshmimine milsa v'aisi v'esik. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to. Amar Ezel, I will go, Va'eshma Mine Milsa, and I will hear a psak from him, Va'aisi, and Va'esek, I'm going to go hear a psak from him, I want to hear one more shir from him, but I'm going to stand in the back, I don't want to, you know, get involved, because I know he's going to tell me not to go. This is what we say, that if you have a daughter named Shira, and you're not planning on changing the name, don't go tell Rav Chaim Kanievsky that you need a bracha for her, because you know that he's going to say, change the name. And if you're not planning on listening, then don't tell him. So over here, he's like, I don't want him to see me. I'm going to quickly go hear one more shir, and because I don't want him to tell me not to go. So also he went, Ashkechei Dekoy Beban, he found him in the bathhouse, V'karmelei L'shamei, and he heard his shamish, Heviuli Neser, can you bring me some sort of, generally, we translate it as some sort of dirt, some sort of earth that he would use to scratch himself with and for shampoo. And he said it in Lashon HaKodesh. That was Rashi explains that was the Chiddush. And Heviuli Misrik, bring me my comb. Pischu Pamaychu, open your mouth. Va'afiku Havla, and let the Hevel go. Va'afiku, let the Hevel go out. And drink from the waters of the bathhouse. So, reminds me of I forget which rabbi it was, but he said that anybody who cannot drink the mikveh waters, and this is back in the 70s and 80s, back when mikveh waters were not as clean as they were today, anybody who can't drink from the mikveh waters on Erev Yom Kippur doesn't have full Avas Yisrael. But, so he said, drink from the bathhouse waters. So Amar, so Reb Zera said to himself, "Il male bazi el lishmaya davar zeh. If I only came to hear these things, die, it would have been enough." So the Gemara says, "Why was the big chiddush? Bishlam, have you neser? Have you misrik?" I can understand that the fact that he said, "Bring me my neser, bring me my comb." So you heard a chiddush. Kamash one dvarim shel chol mutil armer b'lashon hakodesh. You're allowed to use lashon hakodesh even for non Torah purposes. Like we said, that's the chiddush. And that's the chiddush. Pischu pamaychu, open your mouth. Va'aviku avala, let the hevel come out. Nami kedush Shmuel. The chiddush is like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel avala mapek avala. That the original the hevel of the base of Mechutz will go in and take out the hevel of the body. Ela ishtu maya, but go ahead and drink the waters, the bebani of the bathhouse. My ma'al yusa, what's the goodness about that? Says the Gemara, the tanya of a braisa, ochal. If a person eats veloy shasa and he doesn't drink, achila sedam. It's as if he's eating blood. Zehu vetzehu tchilas cholim ayim. This is the start of stomach illnesses. Ochal, a person eats veloy holach dalet amas, he doesn't walk 4 amas. Achila semer keves. His food will rot inside of him. That is the start of bad smells. If somebody needs to go to the bathroom and he eats, it is like an oven that has been heated up, but without being first cleared out from the previous ash. Or in our modern day examples, it's like using a barbecue without scraping the grill first. And that is the beginning of zuama smell. I'm not sure the difference, how to translate the difference between zuma and reich ra, but a putrid smell maybe.
They do reich ra. The first one is bad breath. And the second one is reich zuma is perspirational odor.
Perspirational, okay. All right, zuma. We usually say zuma for things like that. So okay, rachatz bechamen. You wash with hot water. Veloy shasa mehen. You wash with hot water, and you didn't drink from these hot waters, which is what happened over here. It is comparable to a tanner which was heated on the outside but not on the inside. If a person washes with hot water and he doesn't immediately take a shower with cold water afterwards, he is comparable. Barzel is comparable to an iron that has been placed in a fire and was not placed in cold water afterwards. Rachatz v'loy sach, if some, which obviously is not good for the iron. Rachatz v'loy sach, if somebody washes and he doesn't put oil on himself afterwards, it's doim l'mayim al gabi chavos. It's like spraying down a barrel. It doesn't go in the barrel. It just falls off like off a duck's back. So you have to go ahead and put oil on it to help it go into the skin. Okay. Next Mishnah, mulir hagaruf. Rashi explains that a mulir is a type of keli that has, if you can imagine some sort of like thermos, which has a keli which has the soup or in the inside, and around it there's another keli that has a second wall which you put coals and other things which get the water on the inside to be very hot. So that's a mulir. Mulir, hagaruf, which the coals have been cleared out, shoysin hemenu b'shabbos. You're allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. Antichi, and an antichi, Rashi explains in the Gemara, is a keli that has the coal, similar as a two-chambered keli. The chamber on the bottom has the coals, and the chamber on the top has the soup. And tichi avav ishigrufa, even if it has been cleared out, ain shayis in him, and you cannot drink from it. Says the Gemara, hechidami mulir hagaruf, tana maimi beflim v'gachalim bechutz. Like we just explained, the water's on the inside and the coals are on the outside. And tichi is a machlekes. Rava amar beikiri, it is a beikiri, which is this one Rashi explains, it's a machlekes. The one I explained to you was the next one, Beidudi. Beikiri, Rashi explains, is that there is some sort of hole inside an oven, and some sort of hole where you put water in it, or soup, or whatever. And so this way, even though it's very similar to a Beidudi, even though it's very similar to a Malir, where you have the coals in one chamber, and next to it you have the soup, nevertheless, since it's part of the oven, it's much hotter. So therefore, it's prohibited. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, it's beidudi. It's this thing that I described. It's with the top layer and the bottom layer. Manda Amar beidudi kol shekain beikiri. The one who says beidudi is also then certainly if it's part of the oven. Manda Amar beikiri avo beidudi loy. Beidudi would not be prohibited. It will be the same as the mulir. Why? Because the heat is not as tough. Tani kavasid Rav Nachman. We have a brice like Rav Nachman. Antichi afabi shegrufa ukutuma. And antichi, even if it has been grufa and kutuma, ain't shoyz in him. And mepneish nechoyshta mechamamasa. Rashi explains the word nechoyshta means it's bottom. The bottom keeps it too hot. So because the heat is so intense, even after it has been cleared out, if you put soup in there, it's going to violate any laws of Bishul, and remela, it's going to be aser. So we see that the word nechoyshta, Rashi says, means the bottom, And that's why it's a raya to Rav Nachman's version of what an antichi is. It means it's a two-chambered pot with the top and the bottom, to the exclusion of Rabbah, who said that it's very similar to the mulir, it's just part of the oven.
So, the issue here is that even though you've done garuf, the metal walls retain heat?
So, I refrain from saying metal, because metal is a whole different pshat in the Gemara. It doesn't have to be metal.
Oh, what's pshat? What is the pshat here?
It's the nechoshta is the bottom, the fact that the chamber was on the bottom, that retains the heat much more, that retains the heat much more.
But Rebbe, if it's not metal, then what else? What is it?
It could be. I'm saying most of the kalim back then were not metal. Most of the were earthenware, or it was an earthenware kalim.
The second one says the Mishnah is saying that, or our scroll says, that it continues to get hotter even after you shovel it out.
How do they say they go with metal? They go with the pshat of metal? There is a pshat like that, but...
No, it doesn't identify as metal, but it says that an antichi continues to add heat to the water even after it's cold or removed.
Correct, right. Right.
According to the may not keep water immersed in it.
Right.
For shot.
Right. That's true, because it's on the bottom. I'm explaining, because it's on the bottom. The Rashi explains, because it's on the bottom, that's why it does it.
But something else besides metal can have those properties?
Yeah, because since the heat was contained in the chamber under the food, so then that chamber will continuously heat the food, even after it's been cleared out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's sugya. The next Mishnah is Hamecham Shepinhu. If you have a Mecham, which is a hot water urn or kettle, Shepinhu, that was cleared out. Now, there's going to be two versions of the Gemara. Does it mean it was emptied of water, or does it mean it was cleared out? It itself was taken off the fire. So that's going to be a machlekes in the Gemara. Lo yitein l'teichot soinin. One is prohibited from putting cold water in it. To heat up that cold water. But you could put cold water in there or into a cup in order to get it warm. So the Gemara will explain the entire Mishnah. My Kamar, what just happened in this Mishnah? Amar of Ada Bar Masna Hachi Kamar. Hamecham Shepinhu Mimenu Mayim Cham. In the first version, the Mecham all its water was cleared out of it. So imagine you have a hot kettle. You have a hot kettle, and you emptied all the water down the sink. Now this kettle is still boiling hot. It's just burning hot, I should say. It's not boiling anymore because there's no water in it. Lo yitein l'toichei mayim u'atim. You're not allowed to put in there a little bit of cold water, because what's going to happen if you put a little bit of cold water in there? It's going to automatically become super hot. Kedei sheyichamo. So that would violate the halachas of Bishul right there. But what you could do, according to this version, the safe of the Mishnah says, but what you could do is you could put water in there in order to warm it. How would you do that? By putting a lot of water in. If you put a lot of water in there, so then if you put it in one fell swoop, it will cause just a mere warming of the entire, of all the water. Now, we're not used to the following question, because our metals are so refined in the factory before they ever make it to the shelves in Target, when you buy them, but so therefore nothing, when you heat up metal and then you empty it out and then you pour cold water, nothing's going to happen whether you pour cold water on it or not. Our pots are refined metal to the point that you could take hot water out of it and then just put it directly in the cabinet and let it cool down over time. But back then the metals were not refined at all, and therefore pouring cold water on it helped the metal a lot. If you added hot water, so it was helping the metal to the point that it would violate perhaps the malach of Makar B'Patish. If I remember correctly, it's a deal. It's a Mnidin and Taisis, exactly which malach you're violating. But let's just work with Makar B'Patish now. V'halei mitzaref. How do they translate? I don't even know how to have a translation for that word. I mean, what it means is what I just said. It's like it helps the metal, but... It hardens. That's what they say? Yeah. It hardens the metal. It causes the metal to become better and more firm. So answers the Gemara, it is the position of Rabbi Shimon. He, the Amar Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter. Since it's the Davar She'enu Miskaven, it is permitted. Maskevlo Abaye. Midi Mechem Shepina Mimenu Mayim Katani. Does it say a kettle that had its waters cleared out of it? No. Mechem Shepinu Katani. It talks about a Mechem that was cleared out. It itself was cleared out. Katani. El Amar Abaye. Rather, the Mishnah means as follows. Hachik Amar. Hamechem Shepinu. If you have a hot water urn that was cleared off the fire, meaning it's still full of cold, it's still full of hot water. V'yesh by Mayim Chamen. And it has hot water in it. Lo Yitin L'toichai Mayim U'atin. You cannot put cold, a little bit of cold water in it. B'shvishi Chamu. Because you'll be heating up the cold water. But you can pour in a lot of cold water, and this way it will cause the new cold water to just become warm. And if you have a mechem that you would clear out of it water, there you're not allowed to put water in it at all, because you will cause a hardening of the metal. Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah does not reflect the position of Rabbi Shimon, who says that Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda, because apparently it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen. It's only, you know, a possible happening. And that's part of these big toysism over here. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Davar She'enu Miskaven, who says that it's a Davar She'enu Miskaven. So part of these toysism handle whether or not it's a psikresha, but I don't think we're going to go through it. We'll stick with Rashi's chat. Amar Rav lo yishanu ela l'hafshir. That is only mutter if you're doing it to be mafshirit. Avalatzarev, if you're pouring the cold water in order to warm it up, but if you're doing it in order to make the metal harder, then it's usser. If that's the reason you're putting the cold water in, then it would be usser. Avalatzarev, it's going to be usser. Ushmul Amar afilu atzarev nami mutter. Shmuel says no. Even if you're putting it in there in order to fix up the metal, it's also mutter. Says the Gemara, you're doing it in there with that intention. That's for sure usser. Letzarev lechatchila mishari, is that mutter lechatchila? Ella itmar hachi itmar. If there's anything stated, it was stated as follows. Amar Rav leishanu ela shir lahavshir. It's only permitted if you do the amount that will cause it to become warm. If you do enough cold water that would actually make it the metal colder, aval shir letzarev would be aser. Ushmul amar no afilu shir letzarev. Even if you do a shir lebimetzarev, it would be mutter because the tzirev is not necessarily going to happen. The tzirev is not a guarantee. It's a davar she'enu miskaven. Says the Gemara, Lememra de Shmuel Karebi Shimon Svirle. Are you telling me, again, we already came across this twice already, Shmuel's opinion of, Rabbi Shimon's opinion of Davar She'enu Miskaven. Davar She'enu Miskaven, again, just to review, is that if a person does a malacha on Shabbos, and it's not a guarantee to happen, let's say, for example, there is a sidewalk, and you're not sure, sometimes, when you walk by the sidewalk, it triggers a light, and sometimes it doesn't. Now, assuming that triggering a light is a problem, let's say you want the light. So it would be a problem if you want the light. Now, sometimes sometimes the sensor picks it up. It's mamish on the border of where the sensor picks you up. So sometimes the sensor picks you up, sometimes it doesn't. That would be considered a davar she'enu miskaven, because it's not a guarantee to happen. And the real reason why I'm walking here is because I want to walk, not because I want to turn on any lights. I may appreciate when the lights are turned on, but that's not why I'm walking here. I'm walking here because I'm going to my house. That would be considered a davar she'enu miskaven. I did not say the example of you're not sure if the person put up you're not sure if the person turned on his light, because that would be a machlekes whether or not that's considered davar she'enu miskaven. But the example that I gave is a davar she'enu miskaven. Rabbi Shimon says that's mutter gomer. It is mutter to walk there. And Rabbi Huda argues. So now you're telling me that this case over here is you're pouring cold water into the pot. Maybe it will cause an act called tziruf, maybe not. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. And Shmuel apparently paskins like that. So the Gemara questions, does that mean that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Shimon? But we know, now the Gemara puts together here a whole nother machlekas, which is going to be the Gemara's answer. It's two separate machlekasim. But what we just discussed was davar she'enu miskaven. There's another concept in Hilchos Shabbos, and that's called a Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, which means that I'm doing the malacha and it's a guarantee to happen. I'm just doing it for a different reason than normally people do it for. For example, why do people carry? People carry because I want the object outside. What happens if you carry not because you want the object outside, but because I don't want the object over here? Or why do you dig a hole? I dig a hole because I want the hole. What happens if a person digs the hole not because he wants the hole, but because he needs the sand, which is not the usual reason for digging? Those are considered malacha she'ein etzricha legufa. I'm doing the malacha 100%, but with different intent in mind than a normal person. Rabbi Shimon says that that's not usher. So let's see that inside. Remember, the Shmuel, you hold like Rabbi Shimon, and you're saying that davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. V'hamar Shmuel, Shmuel says that if a person sees a metal, a piece of metal that's glowing, so it's very dangerous. Kid picks it up, he'll burn his hands off. Mechaven gechelas shamateches b'rishus rabim. You're allowed to put out a gechelas of metal in rishus rabim. B'shvil shelo yozuku b'rabim. So people will not get affected. Again, over here is a perfect example. You're putting out a fire. The malacha putting out a fire is only so that you can later on benefit. Over here, I'm not doing it so I can benefit later on. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that's a malacha shein etzricha legufa, and therefore it's only putter. And in the case of hezek terabim, it's going to be mutter. Avaloy gechelas shel etz, says Shmuel, but you're not allowed to put out a coal made out of wood. Now why not? Why would you not be allowed to put a coal made out of wood? If you hold the like Rabbi Shimon, afilu shel etz nami, it should be mutter to even put out a coal of wood, because if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, so then this is also mutter. Says the Gemara, well, there's two different machlekes. But davish einam is gavin with regards to the first machlekes of I'm not sure whether it's going to happen or not. So like Rabbi Shimon, and b'malacha shein etzrich legufa, if I'm doing something but I just don't want that reason, there so like Rabbi Huda. He holds like Rabbi Huda. He's machmal like Rabbi Huda. Let's just get to the two dots. Amaravina, hilkach koitz b'rishis rabim. If somebody sees a thorn in rishis rabim, that's very dangerous. Meilichu pachas pachas midal amas. We allow you to carry it walking less than 4 amas, even though that's not a good way to carry. It's totally mutter d'oraisa. D'rabbanan, they asked it. However, because to prevent a sakana to the rabim, it is mutter. This is very nogeya. For example, if a person has a broken glass or... it is mutter to move any muksa on Shabbos. The most common example is it's mutter to move muksa on Shabbos if it is dangerous. So broken glass, it's mutter to you move. All these things is mutter to move with your hands in the normal manner as if you're doing it in order to prevent the danger to kids or whoever.
Right, so like 4 hours at a time. No. It's a
no, so because it's not a sakana, it's nefashos like that. It's a hezek to the rabbim, and therefore you can't do it 4 amos because that's diraisa. But the derabbanan of 3 amos, which they say don't do it except in derabbanan cases, then they say that's when it's mutter.
Scissors?
What?
If you have scissors.
Well, it depends on the type of scissors. I mean, generally, scissors, you know, is not necessarily a sakana, it's not necessarily a sakana for rabbim. But you're right, if you have little kids around, and then yeah, the scissors will be a sakana as well, yes. You can move it. If the movement is to prevent sakana, then it's mutter. So if you have a 3-year-old around or a 2-year-old around and there's a sharp scissor, so then certainly you're allowed to move it, be a dime. Okay, fine. But Carmelis is the Gemara Filu Tuve. If you're in a Carmelis, that's also the Rabbanan. You're allowed to walk as far as you want. All right, very gishmak. We managed to finish Tubla. Mr. Shem again on Sunday, we'll try to do Tubla. And then on Monday also, I mean, again, Sunday will be, and then we'll be totally caught up. All right. Yeshikayach Rabbi Yisai. Have a great one.
Good Shabbos.
And a good Shabbos.
Thanks.